The Gospel of John as we stand. Gospel of John, and children 4 through 9, you are dismissed. And 4 through 9, you are dismissed. And the rest of us, we have our Bibles. The Gospel of John, chapter number 20, if you would. And if you're able, stand, and we'd love to have you read along with us. John chapter number 20, we're going to talk about our verse of the month right now, which was John 20, 21, but we'll read it starting in verse number 19. We'll read John 20, verses 19, 20, and 21. Of course, this is after Jesus has risen from the dead and has appeared to the disciples, and he's about to give them a charge and a commission, which goes right along with our theme for the year of Preach, Reach, Each. John chapter 20 and verse 21. Everybody there, say amen. Any omies need a few moments? Amen. There should be a Bible in front of you if you don't have a Bible. John chapter 20 and verse 21. I'd like to get you to read with me verses 19, 20, and 21 together. Here we go, 19 altogether. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Verse 21 was our meditation all the week long. And what I want to bring out today in today's sermon is the fact that over 37 times in John's gospel alone, we find the phrase, sent me. Sent me. Today, as we look at our memory verse of the month, verse number 21, and continue with our yearly theme, we'll look at some of the ways Jesus used that phrase, sent me, and see what we have been sent by him to do as well. There are three things in particular that I'm going to hone in upon. Jesus said, I was sent to do my Father's will. He also said, I was sent to do the Father's works. Then he said, I was also sent to be into the world as a light. And we're going to look at those three. We'll look at the first one today, and the others we'll catch later on. But the first one is, I've been sent to do the will of my Father, or the will of God. And you and I should be able to glean a few things and be reminded of some things as well as we each look at reaching someone and preaching to them the gospel. Quote the theme with me together. Here we go. Preach to all you can, reach all you can, each do all you can, Mark 16:15. Amen. That is our theme for the year, and I do trust that you're doing your part to reach someone and preach to them the gospel of Jesus Christ that they can be saved. Father, now bless this morning as we look at some of the ways that you were sent. And Lord, that we have been sent as well. You said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. God, help us to glean on how we've been sent to do God's will and how we have been sent to do your work, Lord, and how we have been sent into the world to shine as lights. Lord, there's a baptism coming up, and that's because someone has preached the gospel to somebody and they got saved. Lord, that is part of our work, and that is part of your will. And Lord, that is part of going into this world as light. And God, I pray that as we look at the Word of God today, we might see how we can better be used of you. The Lord, you might minister to us, then minister through us, God. And I pray there's one amongst us today that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. If they've never been born again and they're unsure that heaven is their home, speak to that man, that woman, that boy, or that girl. Help them to realize, Lord, you love them. You died for them. You rose again the third day to prove it. And now you want to give them the precious word of life that they can be saved. Lord, for Christians, help us to go forward doing that which is pleasing in thy sight, that through all things you would receive the praise, the honor, and the glory. We'll thank you for what you're going to do today in our midst. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Mrs. Dawson has our special this morning.
last night, lying in bed, another lonely morning. Will this ever end? Another tear-filled day, another dream. Can't you hear the Father say, oh, my child, when you can go on another mile, I will carry you through the heartache of your greatest trial. I will carry you. My arms are strong. Trust me, and I will carry you. You feel you have no strength to rise above your fears. You feel you cannot see beyond this valley of tears. But with one gentle touch, God says he loves you so much. I am your hope, and you can cope. Believe and know I'm lifting you up, and my grace will be enough. Oh, my child, when you can go on another mile, I will carry you through the heartache of your greatest trial. I will carry you. My arms are strong and tender. My faithfulness is true. I will carry you. You can trust me. Pray.
Amen. God will carry you. Amen. Aren't you glad that you don't have to carry yourself? Amen. God is fully able to carry you. You say, well, preacher, I weigh a little bit more than I weighed last year. Amen. That doesn't matter. My problems are bigger than they were last year. Doesn't matter. Amen. You know, I'm not able to carry anybody else's problems. God didn't ask you to carry anybody's problem. He said, casting all your cares upon me, for he cares for you. Amen. So we praise God for that special message and song. Amen. Much has happened already, and there's still much to go on. There's a baptism to perform. Amen. I know you guys said, what is that casket doing down front? I thought the funeral wasn't until 2 o'clock. Amen. And it is not. That is the baptistry. Amen. And so that's where we go and we bury folks in the likeness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we look forward to that. Amen. But before that time, I do want to bring several things to your attention this morning by way of the message. Our theme all year long is preaching and reaching, and each one of us doing all we can to get the gospel out to a lost and dying world. According to Mark 16:15, he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that is our goal. Our memory work all month long was here in John chapter 20 and verse 21, where Jesus said to them, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Now, of course, this happened to be the 11 disciples. Notice down there in verse number 19, you say, preacher, I thought there were 12. They were, but one hung himself, amen, being a devil. It says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week. What day is that, first day of the week? Sunday, amen. First day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Say, preacher, why would he have to say peace? Because I'm sure they were startled when he appeared in the room. If you're in the room all by yourself, amen, and somebody shows up, I would hope they would say peace as well. Don't worry, amen, it's okay. It's okay. If somebody appears in my room and it's somebody else other than Jesus, I'm running out of the room, amen, because they're not supposed to be there. But he says, peace be unto you. And he said, verse 20, when he had said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Preacher, why show him the hands and the side? To show what happened. To show this is who I am. And you would know me by the marks in my side. And you know me by the marks in my hands. You know me by the marks in my feet. And so he wanted them to know, hey, this is who I am. Peace be unto you. It's okay. Look and behold. Then notice what he says down there in verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. He said it twice. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. He says, you know what? I want to send you a greeting of peace again. It's okay. And the same way my Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And he breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, this was just a temporary filling of the Spirit, not the one that would come later on in Acts. But he says, you know what? While you're out there preaching and teaching, I'm giving you the empowerment to go. And he said, so send I you. Looking at John's gospel, the first sent me, I want to emphasize this morning when Jesus says, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. To do the will of God. Notice John chapter number 4. Let's go back there. Because this morning, I want to emphasize several things about the will of God. Jesus was always fulfilling the will of God. He was not about doing his own thing. He was not about fulfilling his own will, his own desires, his own whims. He was all about fulfilling the Father's will. John chapter number 4 is the first one I want to emphasize this morning as we look at this subject. As the Father has sent me, even so send I you to do the will of God. John chapter 4. And notice with me in verse number 34. Jesus, of course, is speaking to the woman at the well. She leaves and goes and tells everybody about who it is that she finds. The disciples come back and find what's going on. And notice what they said in verse number 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore, said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? The disciples had come back from getting some food, and they said, Lord, you need to eat. He said, you know what? I have meat that you don't know anything about. I have something that I've eaten that you don't have a clue about. And they said, did somebody bring him a sandwich?
Did somebody bring, somebody give him some fish while we were gone? Did somebody bring him something to eat while we were gone?
And notice what he says down here. But he said unto them, verse 32, I have meat that you know not of, verse number 34, I'm sorry. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do, what does that say? The will of him that sent me. And to finish his work. Jesus says, you know what? The food that I'm digesting, the food that I'm eating, what I'm taking in is doing the will of my Father. May I submit to you that Jesus was sent to do the will of God, and you and I are sent to do the will of God? The same way he said, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. I'm doing the Father's will, and guess what you ought to be doing is the Father's will too. Of course, he goes down there and talks about being a soul winner. Go over to chapter number 5. We're going to find the same phrase again about doing the will of God. This time, he's speaking to the Jews because he happened to heal on the Sabbath day. And they were questioning who and what he was about. John chapter number 5, notice verse number 30. Jesus finally had to say, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not mine own, what's that? Will, but what? The will of the Father which hath sent me. After healing, they began to squabble and question about that. And in verse 17, Jesus answered them, said, my Father worketh hitherto, I work. He said, you know what? I'm doing what my Father wants me to do. This man, I need to be healed, and I healed him. I'm sent not to do my will, but the Father's will. May I submit to you that one of the things that Jesus Christ was sent to do was the Father's will, and as he was sent, he sent us to do the Father's will. Jesus repeatedly stated he was doing his Father's will. Most of us would agree that one of the greatest challenges to doing something often involves our will. Or willpower, as we would call it. Whether it's losing weight, I'm sure many try to lose weight already. Whether it's exercising, I'm sure many have tried to exercise. Whether it's something spiritual, like reading your Bible, it requires the will. Whether it's prayer, it requires the will. Whether it's studying, it requires the will. Whatever it is, it is requiring of your will and my will. I believe many well-meaning Christians love God, but struggle proving it because of their will. There's no question that they love God. I'm not going to debate that at all because I know they love God. But it's to the degree that they love God. It's the degree. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, Paul said it this way, for it is God which worketh in you, notice this, both to will. In other words, he puts it in you to want to do it. But then he says, and to do of his good pleasure. So God both gives you the will to want to do it, and then he gives you the power to do it. Amen. So God's going to give me the will to do it, and he's going to give me the want to do it, and then he's going to give me the power to do it so that I can do it. God's never going to give you something that can't be done. Can I get amen? God's always going to give you the resources so that you don't have to say anything came from you but your body. Amen. You can't do nothing without your body. You got to have your body. It is God which worketh in you both to will, to want to do it, and then to do of his good pleasure. Did you notice it's not your good pleasure? It's God's good pleasure. So Philippians begins to tell us how this can be done. Jesus was successful in ministry because his will was God's will and his power was God's power and he did God's program. Amen. Noah Webster, the old-fashioned dictionary, gives some definitions about will. Now, of course, the concordance says the will is the choice or the determination, the inclination part of man, or the divine determinating part of man. Noah begins to give this about the will. He says this, it's that faculty of the mind by which we determine either to do or forbear an action.
He goes on to say, the faculty which is exercised in deciding among two or more objects which we shall embrace or pursue. He goes on to say, the will is directed or influenced by the judgment. The understanding or reason compares different objects. The understanding or reason compares different objects which operate as motives. The judgment determines which is preferable, and the will decides which to pursue. He goes on to say this, in other words, we reason with respect to the value or importance of things. I'm going to read that part again. In other words, we reason with respect to the value or the importance of things. In other words, our will is going to do that which we think is important. Uh-oh, we're in trouble already. He goes on to say, we then judge which is to be preferred, and we will to take the most valuable. Jesus said, my will, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. He said, I can of my own will do nothing. We will take the most valuable. He puts a caveat here. Will is often quite a different thing from desire. Will is often quite a different thing from desire. I can have a lot of desires but not fulfill them. But if I've got a will, guess what? My will is going to do what I want to do. Folks often say, well, you know what? I'm going to do this, and Lord willing. Oh, God's willing to do a lot of things. Folks say, well, you know, if God's will, I'm going to do such and such. Well, God's willing that we do a lot of things. But if God gives you a will, he's going to give you the power to fulfill his will, according to Philippians. So looking at will from Noah's perspective, we see a different aspect. Let me give you this. The will is that part of us that carries out the commands that our hearts give. How many of y'all remember that movie we saw called The Board? Amen. Heart's job was not will's job. Will's job was the active force to say, let's do it. Heart had to say, let's open up. Let's open up. And so the stronger the heart, the stronger the will. Now, in part two of that sequel, the heart gets weak. And when heart gets weak, guess what? Will can't do a whole lot. And guess who took over in the sequel when heart got weak? Everybody thought that, of course, Will is the one that's taking over. Of course, Will, he's wore all black. He's got these black shades. And of course, Will is the one who's taking over. And Will's running the show. But when it all came down to it, when heart got weak, mind got strong. And mind said, this is what we're going to do. Memory chimed in and said, yeah, we remember that things were pretty good before we got saved. And when memory went back there and said, we remember how it was back there, conscience then chimed in, and conscience said this, but we weren't saved back then. And you find them silencing conscience and tying him up and putting him off to the side. And so conscience is tied up and he's off to the side. Now heart is weak and will is over there and mind is over there. And emotion says, we don't know what's going on, but it was good back there. And you find all of those entities, emotion and memory and mind, and they're all conspiring while his heart is so weak. Amen. And they all agree that it was better before we got saved. And so we might as well act like we used to act before we got saved and forget God and leave God out. Will couldn't do a whole lot at that point. Why? Heart was weak. You know, when your heart is weak, your will's going to get weak. When your heart is weak for God, your will's going to be weak for God. When your heart is strong for God, friend, your will's going to be strong for God. What am I saying? You will to do that which you want to do. It is God which worketh in you both to do and to will of his good pleasure. Notice further about Jesus doing the will of God. Turn over to chapter 6, verse 38. Chapter 6. This time Jesus fed the multitudes, and
He's asking them to follow him. And John chapter 6, notice verse 38. He says, I came down from heaven not to do what? Mine own will, but what? The will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will. So he said, let me spell it out for you. Which he has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, verse 40, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have the everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Jesus said, I'm not going to pull any punches with you. This is the will of God, that you can be saved. The will of God that you believe on me, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can be saved. He said, that's the will of God. God sent me to do that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So send I you to do the will of God. Before we can find out what the will of God is for us, we should ask God to teach us to do it and then delight in it when we know it before we even find it. Because let me tell you what happens oftentimes. People say, oh, it's good to be a Christian. I'm so happy to be a Christian. I'm so glad to be saved. Whoa, it's a good thing to be born again. And then God says, follow me. And then we say, suffer me first to bury my family. Lord, I bought some land. Suffer me first to go check it out. Lord, I've got this. Let me go bury my father. We find out the will of God and then we have second thoughts. So what we ought to say is, God, teach me to do your will first. God, teach me to love your will first, because your will is what's best for me. Jesus said, I can of my own will do nothing. I'm not going to do anything of my own. I want to do the Father's will. So before I ask to see what it is, because some folks say, well, let me see what the will of God is. And then you show it to them and they say, well, I don't know about that. Say, what's the will of God for me after I get saved? To get baptized. Well, what does that do? It makes you a member of the church. Well, I don't know about that. I'm hydrophobic. You didn't say that when you was in your mother's womb. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You came out of water. What's the problem going back in water? Well, I had a life's experience. Well, with God, all things are possible. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The psalmist put it this way in Psalm 143 and verse number 10. Teach me to do thy will. For thou art my God, thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. And Psalm 40 and verse 8, he said it this way. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. He said, look, Lord, teach me to do it. I'm going to delight in it. It's good to do. So before we say, Lord, what is the will of God? We should say, Lord, just teach me to do it when I find it. Teach me to do it when I see it. You know, folks want to know, well, what is the will of God? What man am I going to marry when I get older? What girl am I going to marry when I get older? What job am I going to have when I get older? Oh, how rich am I going to be when I get older? Lord, will I have a Maserati? Is that in your will? Lord, am I going to have a helicopter to fly myself to places? Lord, am I going to win the lottery? You shouldn't be gambling anyway. Lord, how many kids am I going to have? What's the will of God for that? Lord, we want to know everything but the main thing. Let's concentrate on doing the will of God that we know to do. You'll find out if you do the will of God that you know to do, God will reveal the rest of the will to you. But if you don't do the will of God that you know to do, why should he reveal the will of God to you, Joe, that you won't have a clue about? Jesus said clearly and plainly, he said, it's not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. This is the Father's will that sent me in verse 39. Verse 40, and this is the will of him that sent me. Several times in the New Testament, the Bible tells us exactly what the will of God is. So what is the will of God that we are sent to fulfill to become a more effective witness as you and I set out to each reach and preach the gospel? I'm glad you asked. I'm going to give you several of them this morning. What is the will of God we are sent to fulfill to become more effective? Let me say this before I even give you these. It is the will of God that you be in church. He's told us that we need to be in church. It's the will of God that you pray. That's the will of God. It's in the will of God that you should give.
You heard a challenge from the Word of God this morning. It's in the will of God for you to forgive somebody. Why? As Christ forgave you, you should forgive somebody else. Those are basic things that you don't even need to say, well, I wonder what the will of God is about this. It's the will of God that you be baptized. But let me give you some things that the Bible clearly says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 3. If you want to turn there, you can. Because we're talking about, as my Father has sent me, so send I you to do the will of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse number 3. You're going to find Paul writing to the church at Corinth about doing the will of God. And notice what he says the will of God is for them in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. He says this in verse number 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more, for ye know that what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God. Is that what it says in your Bible? This is the will of God. What is it? Even your sanctification. What is it? That ye should abstain from fornication. That is the will of God. That you and I would abstain from fornication. You say, preacher, what is fornication? It's all sorts of illicit, immoral, sexual acts of any type. Whether it's in thought or whether it's in deed, it is there. It's implied. Say, preacher, we would never get involved with that. I hope that you won't. But may I submit to you that many do because of four things. Many do because of four things. Say, preacher, what are those four things? The first one is movies, what you watch. You see it. And because you see it, you do it. And many get in trouble because of movies they watch and programs they allow to come through their eyes and what they see of adulterous things on television or illicit acts of immorality on television. And they say, well, in the soap operas they did it. Well, on this program they did it. Well, over here they did it. Well, Bob and Sally did it over there. Well, Jane and Bill did it over there. Nowadays it's Jane and Sally did it. Nowadays it's Dick and John did it. Amen. Well, you know, I saw it on a movie. Movies is the first way people get in trouble with this thing called abstaining from fornication. And they cannot fulfill the will of God. The next one is music. The music you listen to. What do the lyrics suggest? Well, you know, preacher, they said they love Jesus. But they can say that. What does the music make you do? If it starts making you want to gyrating. Before you know it, there you go. People start looking at your body because you're doing all these gyrations and movements and stuff like that. Hey, what is the music? I don't care what it says. It said it's about God. I can say I'm a goat and put the horns on my head to make me a goat. Music is going to get many people in trouble. Amen. Hey, the only thing I've got to do is sell you on the beat. Sell you on the rhythm. Now I can make the lyrics say whatever they want to say because you like the lyric. You like the rhythm. Movies is going to get a lot of people in trouble in fulfilling the will of God and abstaining from fornication. Music is going to be high on the list as well. Magazines is going to be another high one on the list. Amen. You read the tabloids and they got to show everything and tell everything and don't know anything. You go through the checkout line and there they are. Boom, 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 boom. All up there. And you know what we do? Pick them up and start looking at them. Boy, look at that. Boy, they're exposing everything. Boy, they took off all their clothes. Boy, would you look at that, child? Look at that. No, we don't want to look at that. We don't want to look at that. Did you see that? I'm trying not to. Why? Because movies, music, and magazines can be our undoing. But the last one is probably by far the biggest one because it encompasses all the others. Media. Media. Whether it's social media, whether it's Facebooks, whether it's chat books, whether it's notebooks, I don't care what kind of book it is, amen. It's in the media. All of those are encompassed in there. And people will get down to some filth quicker than you can shake a stick. I was working on my computer, and something just popped up. And I thought, where in the world did that get? Where'd that come from? I deleted that thing off of there, and some more junk came. Before long, it ruined my whole computer. I had to go ahead and clean the whole thing out and wipe it out and start it all over again. He said, preacher, where'd it come from? I have no clue. I'm not savvy on that stuff, but evidently I must have picked it up from something, somewhere. This is the will of God. You're in Thessalonians chapter number 4, He says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. You should abstain from fornication. How am I going to abstain from it? By watching the movies, by watching the music that you listen to, by watching the magazines that I read, by watching the media that I'm on. Those are factors that will affect your morality. You'll see it, you'll hear it, you'll read about it, and before long, my friend, you'll do it, and you take you out of the will of God, and you wonder, how did it happen? When you know the will of God. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. This is the will of God. The Bible says here for you and I, this is the will of God that you and I have been sent to do. Abstain from fornication. Number two, chapter number five. Very, very quickly. We got to move quickly. Chapter number five, he says this. In verse 18, in everything give thanks for this is the what? Will of God. Now these are things that we already know. This is the will of God. He didn't pull any punches. He said, this is the will of God. How many things? In everything. Preacher, I had a flat tire. What could be good about that? Could have four. Preacher, my car broke down. What could be good about that? At least you got one. Preacher, I'm sick. At least you're still alive. Amen. Preacher, something in my eye. At least you got eyes to see. Could be like Fanny Crosby, be blind. Amen. And everything. Now, I don't like it any more than you like it. So don't look at me and say, well, preacher, well, how do you get away with it? By the Spirit of God and the grace of God, because I complain just like you. I say, Lord, what earthly good could come out of this? He said, I'm teaching you patience. Everything, he says, in everything give thanks, even the good as well as the bad. We want to praise God for the good. Oh, God's good. When something bad happens, Lord, you're so bad. Oh, where was you when I needed you? Right there where I've always been, sustaining you through that bad. The Bible says if I'm going to be in the will of God, if I've been sent to do the will of God, just like Jesus, then I need to abstain from fornication, and then I need to make sure that I'm giving thanks. By the way, the more thankful you are, the more negative you will be. Amen. The less thankful you are, the more negative you will be. You start accenting on everything that has gone bad. Man, you get down to dumps quick and you say, well, you know, my hair fell out. Oh, my back ache. Oh, my toe aches. Oh, I got a toenail, a hangnail. Oh, school is hard. Well, work is hard. The boss is mean. The kids are mean. Everybody's mean. Amen. Well, how about all the people that are nice? How about all the good things that happen? See, we don't want to go there because that brings conviction. God has been good to us. By the way, God's good all the time, whether you like it or not. Whether you know it or not, he's good all the time, and all the time God's good. All the time. Well, he says, in everything give thanks. This is the will of God. The good things and the bad things, they're all allowed things of God. Give me these next ones very, very quickly. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15. He says this, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. And that is doing good and doing what's right by the Bible standards, not according to our own standards, when we are actually going through some difficulties. Just doing well. He says, for so is the will of God, 1 Peter 2:15, that with well-doing, ye put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. He said, just do right. Just do well. Just do well. You know, if we just did right. But you don't understand the world. I don't, but God does. But you don't understand what they said about me. I don't, but God does. You don't understand what they did to me. I don't, but God does. For so is the will of God, 1 Peter 2:15. That with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Hey, one day it's all going to be washed out. And God's going to show what they did and what you did. And guess what? Will we be ashamed or will we be happy? What God did through us. So is the will of God. That with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Ephesians 6:6, dealing with our work capacity, says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, doing a good job on the job when people are looking and when they're not looking. How many clock watchers we got? We're looking at the clock up there. Well, you know, I'm going to work all the way up until such and such a time, but if the boss turns his back, buddy, oh boy, the boss is away, the cats will play. Hey, the boss is away, the Christians will stray. Amen. You know that God's always on the job? And God's always watching what we do. So you can't get away. He says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Ephesians 5:17 says it this way, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. He said, find out what it is. 1 John 2:17 says, "And the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Just in those few passages, the scriptures clearly said, this is the will of God. This is the will of God. This is the will of God. Preacher, what about the other? Just worry about what you know. You find out if you worry about doing what you know, the other things will take care of themselves. Keep your mind clear of your movies, your music, your magazines, and the media. And you, a whole lot of stuff will be taken care of just with those four. We get into more. You spend time wasting more time on the media, in the chat rooms, than you do anyplace else. In the Facebook, you could have been doing something else productive with that time. To see what Barbara did over here, what Matthew did over here, what Jane did over there, what Bill did over here. They said, "I chew." And somebody said, "God bless you," and they posted. You know it's true?
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes, sir.
You know it's true? Sally saw a deer in the middle of the road, and she posted. And somebody said, "I saw one too." What's that got to do with the kingdom of God? How's that helping anybody? What? How much time did it take you to go and read that when you could have read something productive? I'm just saying. Those four will take care of more, because those four are going to lead to other things. This is the will of God, 1 Thessalonians 4:3. Even your sanctification, you should abstain from fornication. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "And everything give thanks. This is the will of God." 1 Peter 2:15, "For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence ignorance of foolish men." Ephesians 6:6, "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." That's just a few where God says, the Bible says, this is the will of God. We say, "As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." He says, "I'm not doing mine own will, but of him that sent me." By the way, this is the will of God. And if you and I have been sent to do the will of God, it's that others can see us doing it. The only reason why Jesus Christ got in trouble is because people saw him doing the will of God. Now, if you're going to get in trouble for something, you might as well get in trouble for doing the will of God. Because you can get in trouble for doing something evil. Might as well get in trouble for doing something right. And doing something that's in the will of God. We'll pick up on some of the other areas. But my question to you this morning is, do you delight to do the will of God? Have you asked God, "Lord, teach me to do your will"? That when it comes, not only do I do it, because it is God which worketh in me both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God, you're going to give me the willpower to do it, but then, God, you're going to give me the acting power to do it. But Lord, teach me to do it and then to delight in doing it. The psalmist said, "I delight to do thy will." It's good for me, Lord. By the way, God's not going to ask you something to do something that's unproductive for you. God's going to always tell you to do something that's productive for you. Why? It's the will of God. Let me ask you a question. How are you in the will of God when it comes to abstaining from fornication, when it comes to the media, the music, the magazines, the movies? How are you doing? Are you fulfilling the will of God in just those four? How are you in the giving thanks department? Are you more of a complainer than a thanker? And folks, we need to get back to the basics. As my Father has sent me, he said, even so, send I you. Hey, folks, I need help on the thanking department. I don't know about you. I'm not as thankful as I ought to be. I can find something critical in a heartbeat. And I'm sure you are, too. God didn't call you to be a quality inspector in that regard. Now, fruit inspector, yes. But as far as complaining about what he's doing in your life, God didn't call you to complain about that. He just called you to thank him for that. I don't know about you, but I think we need to understand that we've been sent to do the will of God. Not to do our own will. Jesus said, it's not about my own will. It's about his will that sent me. How are you doing today in fulfilling the will of God for your life? The known will that you know to do. The known will. I'm not talking about the will that you don't know. I'm talking about the things that you know you as a Christian should be doing. How are you doing? Because there's a world out there that's looking to see your works and my works. They're looking to see your light and my light. They're looking to see what God's doing in you so they can see him up above. What did Jesus say? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. One of those things is the will of God. Are you fulfilling the will of God? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, don't looking around. We do have a baptism, and those that are getting baptized, you may step out at this time. But the rest of us, our eyes are closed, our heads are bowed. And this morning, we're just talking about a simple principle. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And Jesus said, I've been sent to do the will of God. How are you doing this morning in the will of God? But let me tell you this. He did say this in John chapter number 6 and verse 40. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. Do you have everlasting life this morning? Because Jesus Christ came into this world to die for your sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day for your sins. And my friend, if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, the will of God for you, first of all, is to be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And God wants you to be born again today. And if you've not been born again, Jesus said, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. With heads bowed and eyes are closed, no one looking around. How many would be honest and say, preacher, if I died right now, I know I've been born again. I'm a child of God. And I'm going to raise my hand to give a testimony to God's greatness. I know I'm saved. I know I'm born again. If I died right now, I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm born again. And you raise your hand high. I won't call on you, won't pick you. I just want to acknowledge the greatness and the goodness of God. Amen. Amen. Hands going up all over the place. You may put them down. Just the greatness and the goodness of God that he saved us. How many say, preacher, I'm not sure that if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure that I'm born again. I'm concerned about it, preacher. I'm a little startled. But I'm not sure that if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me, preacher? Anyone like that at all? Man, woman, boy, or girl, all across this room, you'd raise your hand. Preacher, pray for me. Amen. I see one hand. You may put it down. Is there another? Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it. Would you pray for me? Anyone at all like that? I see one. Is there another? And then lastly, if you're born again, maybe God spoke in your heart about the will of God. The known will of God that you know to do. Are you doing it? Maybe you need to say, Lord, teach me to do your will. Lord, teach me to delight in doing your will. God, help me to realize it's you that worketh in me both to will and to do of your good pleasure. God, help me to rely upon you to do your will. Help me to delight in it. Lord, help me to just fulfill it, to do it. That which I know to do, help me to do it. Help me to raise your hand saying, preacher, pray for me that I could both be taught it, but then I delight to do it. You raise that hand. Preacher, pray for me today. I know what it is, but I just need to do it. Just need to do it. Amen. Amen. Hands going up all over the place. You may put it down. Father, you see the hands have been raised. Lord, we know what the will of God is in several areas because the Bible clearly says this is the will of God. And Lord, we have not the time to go through every last one of them, but we have some that we looked at briefly. Lord, more importantly than seeing what the will of God is, God, help us to be taught it and then to do it and then delight in doing it before we even know what it is. Lord, just help us to agree with you that the will of God is good and is something that we need to do. Lord, grant clarity to the one raised their hand about knowing for sure that heaven is their home. Then many hands being raised to say that I need to delight in doing God's will. I need to be taught what God's will is. I need to just do the will of God, knowing that God, you're working in me both to do and to will and to do of your good pleasure. God, help these that raise their hand, help me to do your will as well. Lord, knowing it's good for us. Work in this invitation time in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes are closed, don't looking around. Let's all stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. As we stand, hymn of invitation is going to be played. God spoke in your heart. Would you move? Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, I need to be taught to do your will. Lord, I want to delight to do your will. Would you come? As the music begins to play, would you come? Or maybe you need to say, Lord, I the will of God is to get baptized. I've been saved. I need to get baptized. And maybe you need to come down and surrender to baptism. And we won't baptize you today, but you can surrender and say, I need to be baptized. What is it today? Jesus clearly said, I've been sent to do not my will, but God's will. This is the will of God. This will of him that sent me. Maybe God spoke in your heart this morning. Would you move? Come down to an old-fashioned altar. Say, preacher, I don't know what the will of God is. Why don't you ask God to show you what the will of God is for you? We saw several things. This is the will of God. This is the will of God. This is the will of God. What about you? Are you saved today? God wants to save you. God wants to save you. Hey, we're having a funeral this afternoon. You know why? That someone passed into eternity. They made sure they were born again. They made sure they were saved. Something unsuspecting happened. Just got bumped by a car and got knocked over and hit their heads. Caused head trauma. Ended up going to be with the Lord. Do you know what's going to happen to you the rest of the day today? Do you have that account settled? Are things good between you and God? Are you fulfilling His will? Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. I'm sending you to do the will of God the same way I've been sent to do the will of God. It's not my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. Not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. This is the Father's will which has sent me. Over and over again, He said, this is the will of Him that sent me. Jesus said, I came to do His will, not mine. Are you willing today to put your will aside so that God can fulfill His will through you? Are you willing to show a lost and dying world what thus saith the word of God through your life? Maybe, young person, you'd say, it's not my will, but God's will. God's will is that you obey your parents. What is it that God would have you to do in fulfilling His will? Maybe you need to brush up those movies, those musics, magazines, the media. Tweak it a little bit. Maybe you need a little bit more thankful. This is the will of God. You say, preacher, it's not easy to do. I didn't say it was easy. But it should be done. Why? He gives you both the will and the power to do His good pleasure. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your word. Well, thank you for the many times that Jesus said so plainly and bluntly that He was not doing His own will, but the will of God. Lord, help us, each and every one of us, to do the will of God that we know we ought to do. That, Lord, through all, You would be glorified and uplifted. Lord, we clearly saw in the Scriptures some things that says this is the will of God. Lord, help us to do that which we know is right to do. Lord, help us to delight in doing Thy will. And Lord, teach us to do Your will. Lord, teach us to be thankful. Lord, teach us to abstain from that which is going to impure and pollute our minds. Lord, teach us to just do well at our jobs. And Lord, do what is pleasing. Lord, not a popular message. Lord, we want to put our will to the side and put Your will first, but that's what Jesus said. Lord, that's how we will be successful. And that's how we can do what You've called us to do as we've been sent, like Jesus has been sent. Help us to leave here, Lord, knowing what You have for us and work in those hearts that raise their hands saying, I struggle in an area of the will of God. And Lord, grant freedom that they may do it and see You work in a marvelous way in Jesus' name.